Welcome to Bear Bow Hunter Podcast with your host, Nate Bailey, where we look to the ancient paths of our hunting ancestors to guide our future, where woodsmanship and hard work outweigh advanced shooting devices, where we value those who have gone before us and welcome those who are yet to come. Join us as we exchange valuable insight about the bear bow hunter's lifestyle. Welcome to another edition of the Bear Bow Hunters Podcast. This podcast today is brought to you by Grizzly Stick. We have been using Grizzly Sticks for years. And quite honestly, in 2020, I think if I wasn't using the Grizzly Stick arrow or with the broadhead, the Samurai, I would have lost the bull that I'd hit. That arrow had penetrated all the way through. It was a horrible shot. But that arrow had penetrated all the way through one lung, the liver, the paunch, and went and broke the pelvic bone on the opposite side. And if it wasn't for that, I think that arrow, or the bull probably would have died, but I probably wouldn't have been able to retrieve him. So I'm a believer in Grizzly Sticks, or in heavy arrows, and Grizzly Stick, I think, is the leader in that. With the tapered shaft, you just get a lot more penetration. Your ferrules line up. All the broadheads line up with the ferrules on the arrows with the outsert. And the cool thing about it is, too, is that same arrow is going to be the first arrow in my quiver this year. So, yeah, the fletching and stuff got screwed up, but I'm going to refletch it, and the arrow is still good. That's how strong they are. We have broken very few Grizzly Sticks. We've lost a few, but we've broken very few. So anyhow, just wanted to bring that to you guys. If you're listening to this podcast, you know how much I love heavy arrows. I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that I hunt instinctively. And if I'm going to hunt instinctively, my shots are going to be 25 yards and less. And if I'm going to shoot 25 yards and less, the only thing that I am losing is about 5 inches between a 650 grain arrow and a 400 grain arrow, according to the trajectories that I talked about last time. So with that said, let's jump into today's podcast. Today, we're going to talk about the top 5 things I think are very important, for traditional bow hunting elk. And, quite honestly, that's why I got into bow hunting, was because of elk. We had called a lot of elk over the years, and I had shot a lot of jackrabbits over the years with my recurve bow, and so the two just seemed like they should go together. So I just think that elk is a perfect animal to traditional bow hunt. I think if you're going to bow hunt any kind of animal to get started, I think elk are probably one of the easier ones. And I know there's a lot of people that would probably disagree with me out there. It's definitely the easiest one from the ground. No doubt about it. It's the easiest one from the ground. But, one of the things about elk is finding them. That's probably the biggest thing. If you're an elk hunter, or if you're a hunter, and you don't like to hike, say you're used to sitting in tree stands or sitting over baits or things like that. I think that's where that conception of how hard elk hunting is comes from. But for us guys that kind of grew up out here in the West, still hunting or whatever you want to call it, I think you will find that elk hunting on the ground is probably the easiest animal to hunt on the ground. Now, with that being said, it's not the easiest animal to find. I think that's probably 80% of elk hunting is finding them. Once you found them, unless something's moved them, unless you really screw something up or, you know, wolves come in or something like that, they usually stay in the same place, which is really cool about elk. They're an animal that's really vocal, and that's all year long. That's not just during the rut. Now, the rut is pretty cool because the bulls absolutely lose their mind when cows start really coming into heat. Another thing is, like, pre-rut type area, you know, those younger bulls are pretty susceptible to cow calls. And so this vocalization of calling animals to yourself probably is a lot easier for, it's definitely easier for me because then I control the situation. I don't have to worry about the animal controlling the situation as much as I can control the situation, right? So what I mean by that is the situation, what I mean is I'm controlling through my experience of elk hunting where I'm going to be set up when I'm calling that bull in. So I don't have to I don't want to say that I don't have to fold to what the bull's doing, because that's totally not right. But I can put myself in the position to get the shots off that I need to get off. And you know, you do that with a good trail and knowing, you know, a good whitetail stand and stuff like that. You do a lot of that too in the whitetail woods or in the blacktail woods. But truly elk hunting, you can have a little bit more control with what is going to happen there when you finally get into the hunting part of it. So I'm going to tell you the five things. These are my top five hits, top five tips. Sorry. These are my top five tips for a traditional bow hunter who wants to come out west and elk hunt. And for anybody that's out here also that's trying to get into it. Like I said, it's funny because I hear this from people all the time. People always tell me, they tell me that, you know, next year, I'm probably going to bow hunt for deer this year, but for elk, I'm going to still use my compound. And I'll tell you, I think it's better the other way around. I think, honestly, your compound is a way better weapon for blacktail deer hunting than the traditional bow, as far as you know, lethality of it and all that kind of thing. But I honestly think that if you're going to start traditional bow hunting, elk is the place to start, just because of these five things. So I'm going to go over these five things and then I'll break them down. The first thing is shoot instinctive. Shoot instinctive. I can't stress this enough. I think that you're going to lose something if all you're doing is treating your trad bow like a compound bow. The second thing is shoot through the brush. Learn how to shoot holes. And because a lot of times when we're hunting with the trad bows or any bow, we're shooting through, and there's a reason for that. It's just because elk are that kind of animal. We'll jump into that a little bit more. Understand where the elk are going to stop. All elk are going to stop when you're calling them. And if you don't have the experience, there's only one thing you can do, and that's to listen to other people and to try to get yourself around as much elk as you can. The fourth thing is know when to draw. This is huge important. So if you're coming over from a compound, this is one of the biggest things that you're going to find with a trad bow that you don't like. And the last thing, and I'm sure you guys probably know this about me if you've listened to the podcast or watched any of our videos, this is probably one of the tops on my list, and that's shoot a heavy arrow. And I know there's guys in Idaho and stuff that are shooting longer distances and things like that, but quite honestly, I don't think you have to. For elk especially, I don't think you have to. They're such a call animal that you could set up, and shooting a heavy arrow just puts mistakes back into your favor. So I thoroughly believe that. So let's jump right back into the first. Shoot instinctive. Why do I say shoot instinctively? Well, because most of your shots are going to be under 25 yards. If you're hunting elk the way that we hunt them, and you're very call oriented, and there's some people that aren't, you know, I remember reading articles years ago where people would listen to bulls bugling and they'd slip in on them and shoot them without ever calling, just sneaking in on them, and they liked that way of elk hunting. But that is not the way of elk hunting that I do. We are very call heavy. Matter of fact, we're so call heavy that if we're not calling, we don't feel like we're elk hunting. And so when you're in that kind of situation and you do that, you're going to end up with elk close. And just ask some of the guys that are shooting gap out there that don't practice their instinctive shot, that when an elk gets past on the inside of their gap shooting, so a lot of guys are shooting probably 40 yards gap shooting, it's harder for them to figure out what they're going to be able to shoot that elk at. Another thing about gap shooting is I think you a lot of times when you're calling an animal, you don't have time to know your yardages. And if you're a gap shooter, you got to know your yardages, just like a compound shooter's got to know his yardages. And I think that's a disadvantage at some point. Now, when I say shoot instinctive, you should be pretty consistently being able to hit at 25 yards and under a pie plate. And that's all that comes from is shooting a lot of arrows. It's like throwing free throws, right? Or three pointers or anything else like that. You have to shoot a lot, and you have to be around it a lot. Now, once you get into it a while and you've done it for quite a while, it's like falling off a bicycle. It's pretty hard to forget, but just getting into it, it takes a long time. Now, why instinctive? Well, because that elk, he's going to do a lot of different things when he gets in close. When you shoot instinctively, you become something completely different than just a dude with a bow. You become a predator. It's something that I think is in our humanity. Man, ever since humans have been around, they've had bows. And they've killed a lot of animals with bows. And I think it's something that every human can learn. I think some are better than others, of course, and shoot within your means. But the fact of the matter is an elk is a perfect animal to be shooting instinctive with. You know, the difference between my arrow drop from 20 yards to 25 yards is about 6 inches, 7 inches. And then going back all the way back to, say, 10 yards, I'm a little high at 10 yards, just the way that I've looked at the charts. But the difference between all those is probably about 10 inches. On an elk, when you're talking a kill area, and of course we want heart shots, that's the best thing, but the heart itself is still probably 6 inches, if not bigger, and then your lung area is 15 inches. So you're talking about an animal here that if you get an arrow through those spots, that elk is not going to go very far. And so your instinctive shot is going to allow you to be able to pull and release when you need to. And you're not going to have all the gizmos and the gadgets to figure out what your yardages are. So I say that's one of the big reasons to shoot instinctive as an elk hunter. That might be different for pronghorn hunts or mule deer hunts. You have, more time to deal with that kind of stuff. Especially pronghorn hunts, if you're in a blind or something like that, or a tree stand, and you already have all your yardages figured out. But if you're hunting elk on the ground, man, you are moving with them. They are you're very rarely going to stay in one spot and set up. One of the things that we always do is we chase the elk until we get within 25, 50 yards of them, and that's when they finally a lot of times decide to come kick your butt, and that's when we get our shots. So that's the one thing that I think has helped us a ton as far as being able to get shots on bulls. One of the things, instinctive-wise is, the bull I got in the Cascades, last Cascade bull I got, that bull was within about 10 yards, and he came running at me, and if there was no way that I was going to be able to get yardages on anything. And by the time he showed up, all I could do was let an arrow go. I heard him coming. I barely got drawn before he came in, and he came running at me, and perfect heart shot. It went through both sides, and he didn't leave a blood trail because there was no blood to leave. It was all pumping inside, but he fell right within eyesight. So that instinctive shot is made for elk hunters. I it's really a good way to elk hunt. Now, with that said, maybe some of you guys gap shooting, you just treat it like a compound, get your yardages but very rarely will you set up in a spot and have a perfect setup. The next thing is make sure you shoot when you're practicing, make sure you're shooting through brush. And then if you're looking at shooting heavy arrows like I am, make sure that you shoot a lot through the brush, because you have an arc on that arrow, and so you can miss pretty bad by hitting the brush as you're shooting through it. One of the better things about shooting a heavy arrow is sometimes it pushes right through, it doesn't deflect. But practice, put your 3D targets up against a tree or giving yourself just a little bit of room. Elk are amazing animals. They know how to pinpoint you where you're at when you're calling. And when they come in, a lot of times, not because they think that you're a human, but because they think you're another bull, they will get themselves stuck in brush and look around it because they're kind of hiding and checking things out and looking at the, seeing what kind of sizing you up. They don't want to just, you know, they don't want to just rush in and you be a big old monster bull that's going to kick their butt. Elk are, like every other animal, right? They're willing to do what they have to do to reproduce, but they're not dumb about it either. And they will conserve their energy. They will conserve their, they don't want to lose, some of their, take a chance of getting injured or things like that when they could size the condition up. Now, that's the rule, but rules are always broken, right? You always get that one bull that just doesn't care and he runs you over and everything else. But understand that most of the time they're going to stop behind brush. So practice accordingly. Get used to shooting in brush with your arrows. And then also, I didn't put this down, but I think it's a good thing to do, is get some extra broadheads, and even if they get dull, shoot those through the brush as well, because they're going to go through the brush different than a, say, a field point if you do accidentally hit the brush. Now, I'm not being an advocate of saying shoot directly through brush. You know, I'm not like, you know, brush is 90% air. I'm not that guy. But what I am saying is sometimes you have to make things happen, and so you're going to have to pick those spots. And I'm talking like a brush that's like 2 foot wide or something like that, or a foot that you could slide this through. And of course, if there's a chance of wounding the animal, like glancing off of something that it's that tight, I probably would not shoot. But with that said, get used to shooting around brush and in brush. Elk love to stop in it. The third thing is understand where elk stop. The elk are going to always, and the reason I say this is because you got to be within 25 yards of where that elk's going to stop when he comes in. Everybody thinks that elk are going to just keep coming. They don't do that. Like I said, they're going to size you up, and if they could get to a place where they think that they can see where that call's coming from, they will stop there. And that's probably one of the biggest tricks that we've started getting in, you know, getting shots at elk, is because of how we have stopped when we're calling, where we stop. If you're the shooter and you have a caller with you and you're coming across a clearing, send the shooter on the other side of the clearing and caller stays back at the back end of the clearing, far enough back that the elk cannot see where that elk's position, where that caller's position is from the other side of the clearing. Because what's going to happen is that elk's going to come up to the edge of the clearing and he's going to look around before he will not cross that clearing. Of course, there's always, you know, exceptions to the rule, but he normally is not going to cross the clearing until he stands there and looks across that. If he knows that that bull should be right on the edge and he doesn't see a bull right on the edge, he's more than likely going to stop at that clearing, look around for about a few seconds, and then turn and leave. He usually don't run off. They're just like, this is stupid. This is weird. What's going on? This bull duped me. Maybe he's going in after my cows or something like that. But understand where they're going to stop. And then if you're in a dual position, send the guy over there. Now, and then of course, try to call the bull across where the guy's position is, where your shooter's position is. As a shooter, understand that that's what's going to happen. And so you want to be on the downwind side of where you think that bull's going to come, and then realize that he's going to stop at that timbered edge. And take advantage of those things. That's a huge thing, especially for us trad guys. Now, another thing in where they stop, you know, like in the Cascades and things like that, we have a lot of these ridges that have a lot of like grass and stuff on them, and the elk love those grassy ridges. And a lot of times when you're calling, you know, maybe you get stuck out in the middle of it or whatever. On the backside of the ridge, retreat to the backside of the ridge, keep the shooter up on the just on the backside of the crest of the ridge, and then have the collar go down the ridge. And so that elk has to come, they'll come right up over the top of the ridge where they could see. And that's always a great place to get a shot at an elk. He'll come up and he'll hold up kind of on the ridge and look down and try to find where that call is coming from. So be on the backside of those ridges as well. These are the things that'll get you within that 25-yard range. Of course, man, there's times when these bulls just get so fired up and so messed with that they're just going to come and kick your butt. And those are the best, right? Those are the times when we're like, that was the coolest thing ever. But 90% of the time, you're the one that's going to have to irritate that bull to the point where he's going to actually do something. And a lot of guys think, you know, these bulls are just walking away from them and don't want anything to do with them. That's not the case. It's just the case is they're following the cows. They already got what they want. So you got to be the antagonist. You're going to have to be the guy that just keeps messing with them until they cannot put up with you any longer. And that's what we do is we go in and we just try to call those cows off the bulls. And if you could get cows starting to speak to you, oh man, you better hold on. That's when that bull is really going to start getting fired up. If those cows start coming towards you and speaking at you, you've done your job. You've really started to do something. But remember that you have to keep those calls where they can't see you. They have to come to you or come your way to be able to see you, to see where that call is coming from. And hopefully that's in a spot where you have a shooting lane. If you're single, if you're doing it on your own, you could call at the edge of those clearings and then run back, or call at the back and then run forward. Just remember, or be on the side of the ridge line, run up, call, come back. Those are the kind of things that are going to get you a bull. Think about it. You know, when you watch, so one of the cool things we have nowadays that I didn't have growing up with elk, we had a few videos out there, but a lot of guys weren't really showing what they're doing as much as they are now. Watch some good elk hunters on YouTube. Watch them, see what they're doing, because you can learn a ton just by watching them. They're not going to probably give you all their tips, but if you sit there and watch them, you will learn a ton of things about this thing we call elk hunting. The fourth thing is knowing when to draw and how to draw. And with compound, of course, you hear him coming towards you, you just draw, right? One of the things, and this is a huge tip, keep a cow call in your mouth. So keep a reed in your mouth. If you don't know how to blow a reed, you probably really need to learn how to blow one. Even if you never expect to be the bugler, you should have a reed in your mouth. And the reason I say that is 95% of the time when you pull on a bull, you're going to get caught. 95%. And that sounds really weird. But you got to know when to release that arrow. And I'll tell you what, there's a second of time there that bull is in confusion. And they don't just run off. So when he sees you pull, he thinks you're a cow already, because or he's coming into elk already. So he thinks that there's already elk there. So when he sees movement, he's gonna stop. And if you have good camouflage, he'll probably look right past you. He'll just catch. You guys have been out in the woods, right? When you've done that, like a squirrel jumps and you didn't quite catch it, but you stop and look. Well, that's what happens to these bulls too. If you're downwind from them and they come in, 90% of the time they're gonna stop and they look right through you most of the time. But if you're not drawn at that point, when you go to draw, that's when it's going to mess them up. And they'll whirl and spin on you, and you just give them a real quick cow call, and that'll stop them again. They don't know really what you are. They just know that there's something there, something that kind of reacted to them coming in. A lot of times I think they think you're a big bull. I wear a cowboy hat. For some reason, I think that just messes them up, because every time I have that cowboy hat, when a bull comes in and looks at me, he doesn't associate me with a human. You could tell just by the way they're acting. So understand that there's that split second of time. Now, don't snap shoot here. That's not what I'm talking about. If you screw up your shot here, that could be an issue. But come to your draw, your full draw, and then if it moves, give it a and it'll stop. Now, be ready. The and this comes instinctively. It comes just by being around them. It's really hard for me to say, do this, do this, do this, because it really doesn't work out that way in the real world. But when you give that, that's about a second before you release your arrow. And that's how quick this happens. So understand where they stop at. Understand when to draw. Understand how to draw. You know, draw slowly. Sometimes that slow draw turns into a real fast one. That doesn't mean you're snapping anything. That just means that you're adjusting to whatever the elk is doing. That's why I say shoot instinctively. If you have some of these processes that you have to go through, sometimes you'll miss this opportunity. But the one big thing is understand that, and you want to know, here's something else that'll help you in this. Start squirrel hunting. Because squirrels, although they won't run off and stuff, they will react to you drawing. And they will give you a good idea of how you're supposed to draw when an elk comes in. And it's just, or grouse are kind of dumb, but squirrels are a lot better because they do give you an indication that you've been had when you draw. Or you could even try to get away with not getting caught drawing. You know, you could put a plant between you and them, and as they're coming down the trail, just draw right before they get there. These are the things that are going to make you become a predator in the woods. And that's why we pick up the trad bow, is so we could be closer and so we could experience these things, right? It's just a really cool place to be in when we're in the elk woods. I'll tell you what, there is nothing else like it. When you start getting into bulls and you start becoming, like a predator, like a killer of bulls, and you start understanding them and things work out the way that you were trying to make them work, there's nothing better. It's really fun. It's one of those things where I think we were meant to do this, and one of those things where we kind of become closer with what we're doing than just out there hunting. It's a whole different feeling. And I think we connect to the past by doing this. I think we connect to some of our ancestry by doing this. So that's the fourth thing. The fifth thing is shoot a heavy arrow. Now, the first reason is because if you do make a bad shot, that heavy arrow is going to save your butt sometimes. Getting through, I don't know if you guys watched our videos about heavy arrows, but getting through a shoulder blade, I've seen shoulder blade hits with a light arrow and not go very far, which is not, you know, it's not the end of the world if you do get a shoulder blade hit and the arrow comes out and it's a flesh wound. But you're not going to get that elk. You, with the right arrow set up, you're going to go through shoulder blades if you make that, you know, if you push that too far forward, or like I did, I pushed too far back at the wrong angle. The bull whirled on me, basically, is what happened, and it was so dang close, I was afraid to shoot him straight on because he was going to run me over if I did, and I just didn't give myself enough time to let him get past me. That would have been perfect if I would have just gave him another second, and he knew I was there. By the time I drew, he knew I was there, but I could have stopped him. I just got impatient, and it's pretty hard sometimes when they're coming through a jack pine thicket and all the trees are moving. And matter of fact, some of the limbs from some of the trees as he's coming through were not but feet away from me. And he's pushing them over my direction. Anyhow, when I shot, he whirled. And, you know, of course, you guys, I'm going to make a video showing the whole thing so you guys can see what I'm talking about, the way that arrow I've kind of not shown that part because it's one of those things I don't want to, you know, show people that bad shots. It's just horrible to feel. Matter of fact, it felt really bad. I hated that whole scenario of what happened there. But I think it's important for us to see that and to see what a heavy arrow will do when we do make those mistakes. So another thing about a heavy arrow, too, is if you do hit a limb, they don't deflect, especially if you have high FOC. It doesn't deflect like a regular arrow. And people are going to argue this with me. You could argue it all you want. go through and watch some of our videos, man. I did a video where I was shooting arrows through brush. You couldn't hardly see the target, and I was still hitting right where I needed to hit, no deflection at all. And then I did it with some light arrows, and they would get flung everywhere, especially with a high FOC. It's hard to move that mass up forward. Now, if you move the mass up forward on, say you have an arrow that's pretty balanced, if you move that front end, that rear end's going to follow it. But if you have a heavy mass up front, it's going to be harder to move that front end. And it's just the way leverage works, right? And so that's why I say, especially the where we hunt, man, a heavy arrow combination with high FOC is going to serve you way better. So, and if you have any questions about that, and I know there's going to be guys that disagree with it, and I know there's a lot of guys out there that disagree a lot with it, but the fact of the matter is that probably by numbers, you probably can't show it, but if you shot as many arrows through brush and stuff like I have, you could kind of start to feel it, and you could kind of see how things are working. I'm probably going to make another set of videos to kind of show that a little bit more. Maybe I could make a set of videos to go with this podcast so you guys could kind of see what I'm talking about in the podcast itself. With that said, get out there, get after the elk. I think they're an animal that was made for traditional bows. I think it's probably one of the best animals made for traditional bows. And it's probably one of the most adventurous hunts that you'll be on. If you guys need any help getting after it, if you guys need any kind of advice or anything like that, we've been around a few elk, and we've learned a few things. So just reach out, and we'll kind of try to help you. And we just love to see more guys out there getting after it with the trad bows and calling elk in close and shooting at these things within that 25-yard range. So with that said, thanks for listening, and I hope you guys are getting your elk season ready, shooting, getting in shape. We sure are, and we cannot wait to bring it to you. So with that said, shoot straight. Thanks for listening. Thanks for joining us for another installment of the Bearbow Hunter Podcast. Remember, we couldn't even be talking about this stuff if it wasn't for our public land. So go and support the people that are protecting it, backcountry hunters and anglers and TRCP. Also, if you'd like to see more of Bearbow Hunters, go to our Facebook group, go to our Instagram at Bearbow Hunters, like us, and hashtag all of your photos with your Bearbow goodness in them, Bearbow Hunter. We have a website as well. You can go over there, check out the rest of the podcast. We have videos, we have t-shirts and hats. Thanks again. Until then, shoot straight.